Airline ticket prices will go up again for the holidays. NASA is working on getting the ISS ready for the Columbus module, but astronauts won't be going on spacewalks after what was discovered on Friday. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. Solid consumer demand for available airline seats has the airlines experimenting with a new business practice, actually selling tickets for enough to cover the cost of flying the planes. Come on, admit it. As much as we like to complain that the airlines are poorly managed, or all target travelers seeking the cheapest fares, most of us are hypocrites. We get on the discount websites and shop for the best deal, buying airline travel like a commodity. The New York Times reports that commodity price is on the rise. The major airlines have increased fares 8 times since Labor Day. And we travelers haven't flinched. Demand has remained strong. There are fewer airline seats available than last year, and planes are flying much fuller. In this environment, the airlines can raise fares, and they are. And if they want to stay out of bankruptcy, they'll have to. The Times spoke with Rick Shawney, CEO of FareCompare.com, who says with fuel prices continuing to rise, we should expect to see ticket prices continue to ratchet upward. NASA made more progress Monday preparing the International Space Station for next month's arrival of the European Space Agency's Columbus module. The station's robotic crane was used to reposition the space station's docking port, moving it from Destiny module to the end of the Harmony module. That's a sort of foyer in space that was delivered by the shuttle Discovery on its most recent mission. Harmony was designed to mate with the Columbus module arriving in early December and the Japanese Kibo module, which is coming later. Finishing construction of the International Space Station and keeping it supplied will require 13 more missions before NASA retires the shuttle fleet in 2010. That tight schedule makes the latest equipment malfunction particularly unwelcome by NASA. The agency reported on its website Monday that during a spacesuit test on Friday, a trainee smelled smoke inside the suit and felt heat on the back of his neck. Until the cause can be determined, NASA has called off all spacewalks. Engineers will now have to determine where in the extravehicular mobility unit or spacewalk backpack that smoke originated. This is not minor troubleshooting. NASA has created a mishap investigation board, and its members recommended all actual spacewalks be suspended until the matter is resolved. How serious the problem becomes will depend on whether the smoke smell is found to be something unique going wrong with that unit or a previously undiscovered bug that could affect the units in use in space. Unless you're at an air show, smoke is almost always a bad thing in aviation and aerospace. But it's especially bad news in the cargo hold of an airliner. The Associated Press reports a U.S. Airways plane being boarded at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport for a flight to San Antonio was evacuated when a suitcase in the cargo area started emitting smoke. It was comforting to know that investigators found the bag contained no explosives, but disconcerting to know the Phoenix Fire Department still hasn't figured out what was producing the smoke. As of Tuesday evening, we still hadn't heard whether the suitcase was screened in Phoenix or put on the plane at an earlier stop. Up next on ANN, more news of aircraft orders rolls in from the Dubai Air Show. Airbus unmasks the buyer of its first and only A380 personal jet. And it's not just the big guys who are writing orders at the show. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 14th, 2007. On the web, find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. This year's Dubai Air Show has turned out to be a huge opportunity for manufacturers. Total sales announced by Airbus and Boeing have topped $82 billion with a B, and we're not sure the announcements are done yet. In addition to the blockbuster orders from Emirates, DAE, and Qatar Airways we reported earlier, Air Arabia ordered 34 Airbus A340s, worth $3.5 billion. Saudi Arabian Airlines ordered 22 A320s, with an option for 8 more, $1.7 billion total. And Boeing sold 8 Dreamliners to Royal Jordanian Airlines and lesser Alcal for a total of $1.3 billion. The deals announced so far this calendar year give Airbus 1,122 sales so far, and the lead over Boeing for 2007. Airbus has confirmed the identity of the first and only customer so far for the VIP version of the Airbus A380. Saudi Arabia's Prince Awalid bin Talal bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, chairman of the Kingdom Holding Company, has simply outgrown his VIP Boeing 747, and he's trading up to become the first customer for the Airbus double-deck super jumbo Flying Palace. Airbus tells ANN the ultra-luxury A380 will be powered by Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines. It will undergo cabin outfitting at a yet-to-be-chosen completion center. Airbus Chief Operating Officer John Leahy is obviously delighted that his company's entire product range now has sold VIP versions. Quote, Prince Awalid's order means that Airbus' sales success in the corporate jet market now extends from its smallest aircraft, the A318 Elite, all the way up to its largest, the A380 Flying Palace. It also complements our strong VIP A330 and A340 sales, unquote. The Flying Palace has nearly 6,000 square feet of cabin space and a base price of $320 million. That's before cabin outfitting. The aircraft will require a flight crew of about 15. The Prince is the biggest individual shareholder in Citigroup and the world's 13th wealthiest individual. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess he's probably also pretty well hedged against rising oil prices. CMC Electronics Incorporated tells ANN it has completed the avionics systems integration of a second L-100-30 aircraft for the Dubai Air Wing. CMC Electronics is teamed with Gulf Aircraft Maintenance Company, or GAMCO, the prime contractor for the project. The Dubai Air Wing L-100-30, a variant of the C-130 Hercules, is on static display through Thursday at the Dubai Air Show. CMC Electronics supplied its CMA-900 flight management system as the core of the upgrade, while GAMCO was responsible for all program depot maintenance inspection requirements, a new cargo handling system, aircraft painting, and the installation of the cockpit upgrade systems. This upgrade will allow the Dubai Air Wing's aircraft to meet precision area navigation, flight data recording, and terrain avoidance requirements. The CMA-900 features a color liquid crystal multifunction display. Aeronews has learned that ZAS, Z Aviation Services of Egypt, reached an agreement with ExecuJet Middle East to buy 2 SPN light jets from Grobe Aerospace. The agreement was signed on the opening day of the Dubai Air Show. The aircraft will be delivered in 2009 and be operated by Z Aviation Services. Options on a further 2 SPN aircraft have been made for delivery in 2010. The deal was arranged by the exclusive sales agent and distributor of the SPN in the region, that's ExecuJet Middle East, through its regional headquarters in Dubai. Grobe anticipates certification in 2008. Still ahead, Cirrus Design needs more space and needs it right now. Bureaucrats may leave Santa Fe without airline service. And XM Satellite stockholders approve a merger with Sirius. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Design wants to have a prototype of its new light jet ready next year and be ready to deliver the real thing to customers by 2010. To make that happen, the company says it's been hiring an average of 6 new team members per month and could have 200 people on the project a year from now. But there's a problem. No place for those people to work. Cirrus has waited 14 years to expand into a vacant 39,000-square-foot hangar at the Duluth, Minnesota airport. First, the airport authority had to acquire the building from the National Guard. Now, the airport board is proceeding carefully on terms for leasing the hangar to the company. The proposed rent is $22,000 a month, with an annual adjustment to track increases in the Consumer Price Index. Michael Van Stegen, VP of Cirrus's Advanced Development Group, told the Duluth News Tribune, quote, "I take my hat off to all our dedicated employees in advanced development who are working on collapsible picnic tables and plastic chairs right now. We look forward to providing them with a more comfortable environment in the future," unquote. Cirrus has taken 327 deposits of $100,000 each for the plane it's calling only the Jet. Bureaucratic delays are threatening to cost Santa Fe Municipal Airport its only scheduled airline service. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports Great Lakes Airlines notified the city recently it will suspend its 3 daily turboprop flights between Santa Fe and Denver on December 10th. Delta Airlines was supposed to start flights to Los Angeles and Salt Lake City from Santa Fe that same day, but those flights, as well as planned service on American Eagle to Dallas and Los Angeles, which were scheduled to start December 13th, are being held up by an environmental assessment. That report is now being prepared by a contractor for the FAA. Airport manager Jim Mottman tells the paper the FAA believed it needed sign-offs from the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and the Army Corps of Engineers, among others. Quote, "Letters have been sent out to them. There have been some slow responses," unquote. Both airlines say they've reset now for service starts in about February of 2008. The only good news is Great Lakes is pulling its service to utilize the planes on other routes, and those, too, appear to be facing delays. Mottman says the possibility of convincing Great Lakes to delay its pullout, quote, is very real. XM Satellite Radio Holdings tells ANN its stockholders have voted to approve a merger with Sirius Satellite Radio almost unanimously. The company says 99.8% of the shares voted were cast in favor of the transaction. Under the terms of the merger agreement with Sirius, XM stockholders will get 4.6 Sirius shares for each XM share they currently hold. The Justice Department and the Federal Communications Commission both must okay the deal, but the company says it expects both of those approvals by the end of this year. So, what will this mean for pilots using XM weather? So far, the company isn't saying. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association filed comments on the proposed merger with the FCC, stressing that continued availability of the service at affordable rates was in the best interest of safety. AOPA hoped to convince the FCC to seek a guarantee to that effect before approving the merger. XM already promised the FCC that audio programming would continue to be priced at or below current levels. Finally, here's a story about just how quickly prices for unmanned aircraft are coming down. A scientist at South Dakota State University has won a federal grant to continue his studies of unmanned helicopters for safety inspections of dirt roads. UAVs and their tiny cameras cost so much that up until recently, only the military can afford them. But Dave Hoft, research manager at the South Dakota Department of Transportation, tells the Argus Leader newspaper they have become much cheaper and faster than sending out guys with hard hats and tape measures to find roads that are too narrow, banked in such a way as to make curves unsafe, or otherwise substandard. There are, of course, downsides to using UAVs to patrol the roads. Pilots of manned aircraft are obviously concerned, but this could also be a real threat to those guys in hard hats. Unmanned helicopters don't require anyone to lean on a shovel. That's the latest from Aero News. Hey, here's a joke I heard in Florida. What's yellow and sleeps six? A DOT truck. Okay, I'll stop. Hey, don't forget to check out the ANN special feature today. My guest is Dave Savini, an investigative reporter for CBS2, WBBM-TV in Chicago. Dave broke the story of massive security breaches at Chicago O'Hare in his series, Fly at Your Own Risk. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.